Now for our second sermon on Moses. Could this be the moment that defines this competition, that defines a life? I remember an NBC announcer saying that very thing during an Olympic broadcast several years ago, just before a young American gymnast took the floor for her gold medal winning performance. Could this be the moment that defines this competition, that defines a life? No! Can you imagine living for 80 or 90 years a life that was defined back when you were 16? Looking backward for 3/4 of your life, what would you do all the time? Watch video? Sleep a lot? Appear at shopping mall openings? Self-medicate against depression? How many people today are going through the motions, sleepwalking, or self-medicating through life because they believe whatever definition there will be for their earthly life has already been determined? The problem today, more than ever, is just this. In a culture that idolizes the physical strength and superficial beauty of youth and devalues the wisdom and inner beauty of the elderly. It's a problem for sinful and foolish people, always subject to the deception of evil, and then tempted to accept the lie that either yesterday's sins, depressingly, or yesterday's accomplishments, pridefully, will forever offer the defining moments of our lives. For my part, I would rather live a life waiting to be defined, always looking ahead, always having more to do, through every season of life. It strikes me this might be particularly significant for someone who is about to retire. No such thing as retirement for a Christian. How about you? And in these things, Moses is my hero. If anyone ever had good reasons to live looking backward, it was him. But the evidence of his life, especially his later life, tells us he didn't. With all the miracles and major historical movements and significant religious events he was a part of, as we will see, Moses was a man who kept looking ahead for his life to be defined by his trusted God, Yahweh, the one he saw as he kept looking forward with death-defying faith. Our scriptures for today, beginning with Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter that we're going through this month together, looking at heroes of our faith, Hebrews 11, 1 through 6, and then we're going to skip ahead to 23 through 29, the part about Moses. Hear the word of God. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Now we're going to skip to the story of Moses. We're going to skip to the end of Moses' life and read a section that you probably aren't going to find in too many of your children's Bibles. Deuteronomy 32, 48 and following. That very day the Lord spoke to Moses. Go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, opposite Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel for a possession. And die on the mountain which you go up, and be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered to his people, because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, and because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people of Israel. For you shall see the land before you, but you shall not go there into the land that I am giving to the people of Israel. And then skip ahead a couple of chapters to Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 12. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the plain that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there was not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you once again would enlighten us. Enlighten us intellectually, but also enlighten us spiritually through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, that what you have to say to us would come to us in truth and in power. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about Abel, one of the heroes of the faith from the Hebrews Hall of Faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Today we're going to talk about Moses. And Moses presents us with an amazing life. Moses gives us some further insights into living by faith in the living God. The book of Exodus tells us of Moses, miraculously saved as an infant into the household of Pharaoh, expelled into the wilderness after killing an Egyptian in defense of a fellow Jew, divinely called and empowered to lead God's people out of Egyptian bondage and on toward the promised land. Was his life defined by the power and wealth he grew up within? By the murder or manslaughter he committed? By the miracles he was a part of and the movements he led? Do we see him spending his life looking backward in pride or regret at the definition already assigned to him? Today we are going to the end of Moses' life, not recorded in Exodus, but in Deuteronomy. And even then, Moses is not looking back. So he is able to do something special as his earthly life's final act. Moses presents us with an amazing death. Here's another Olympic image for us. I think actually better than Olympic announcers, who seem to think that we should believe with them that athletic performance and achievement is God. It is the definition that we should all hang on to. Wrong. But here's a good image, I think, or at least one that can be helpful. It's important in gymnastics to stick the landing, right? It puts the exclamation point on all you've done up to that point in your routine. It drives home the point that you are serious about your skills and have worked hard to be able to do what you've done. It's the last impression you leave with the judges who are wondering what score to give you. Stick the landing. It's also true, I would suggest, for our life routines. How we die is important. It puts the exclamation point on. It declares that you are serious about your faith and have worked hard to live trusting the living God. It's the last impression you leave in this life with people watching your life and wondering how they will live. Moses definitely stuck his landing. He presents us with a memorable and significant death. God said to Moses, "Go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, and die on the mountain which you go up." If God said something like that to you, what would you do? I can tell you, there'd be a great temptation for me to say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm never going there." Right? What did Moses do? A couple chapters later, "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo." What was he thinking? Even in the face of death, Moses chose to trust Yahweh God. He lived and he died in authentic, God-pleasing faith. How was he able to do this? Well, there's a couple of key verses in Hebrews 11 that help us. Key verses for understanding Moses and understanding how to live by God-pleasing, authentic faith. Hebrews 11, 26 and 27. Verse 26, "He," Moses, "considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Moses had endured much hardship in his life, and now more recently, he had been forbidden by the God he was serving from entering the promised land because of his sin at the waters of Meribah Kadesh. Despite all of this, Moses was committed to what he had learned. He kept looking forward. He was looking to the reward to come. So the reproach of Christ, mistreatment by men because of his faithful obedience to Yahweh God, or righteous judgment against him by God because of his unfaithful disobedience, the reproach of Christ was better than all the riches he could have kept as part of Pharaoh's household. Moses, of course, didn't know about Jesus. But he did know about Yahweh, the God whose very name he received at the burning bush. And Jesus is Yahweh God, the eternal Son who had come in the flesh to save. Though this truth was still beyond the knowledge of Moses, it wasn't beyond his experience of faith. He just didn't have all the names and the full revelation in his days. So the writer of Hebrews, with the benefit of hindsight, correctly identifies the object of his hope and motivation for his faith in action. Verse 27, "By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. As Moses looked forward, he saw the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Thus he could live by authentic faith rather than in worldly fear, which is very natural to us, apart from God's help. What can Pharaoh do to me? Nothing my Lord and God doesn't oversee and allow," Moses clearly was saying to himself. Note, the first time Moses left Egypt, he left in fear after killing an Egyptian. The second time, he was challenging Pharaoh and leading his people out of slavery and on toward the promised land. Moses had been transformed. God worked with Moses throughout his life, helping him to know how to die. Speaking of how to die, do you have a Kleenex? I just noticed that for some reason I've started bleeding. I don't think it's stigmata or anything like that. I think I just scratched myself. You know, it's a reminder of death, right? There it is. Moses' vision. It's moving away from the visible things of earth and toward the invisible God who had called him and empowered him. Moses maintained this habit of looking forward and seeing the Lord, apparently even to the end of his life. So Moses was ready to die. So Moses, in life and in death, pointed God's people to their Lord, whose rewards are real, sure, and lasting. I was blessed to see a real-life example of what this looking forward looked like in the death of my mother-in-law. Vivian Meyer lived her life serving Jesus, active in her church, a music director. She passed a lot of that on to her girls. Praise God. But on the day that she died, her daughter, Cheryl, did they leave? For where? Well, she's still over there, yeah. The one who's been accompanying us today, filling in for us, thank you so much. She went to pick up her mom like she always did on Sunday morning to take her to church. And on that Sunday, when she got there, she found her mom sitting in her chair, all dressed for church, and having just apparently recently passed away. And I just think that is such a beautiful picture. This woman who had served Jesus her whole life, when she died, she is all dressed and ready to go. She was looking forward to worshiping the living God, her Savior Jesus, when she left. And we like to say, I like to say, yeah, she was all ready for worship. And that's exactly where she went. She just went to the big worship. She went to the worship that never ends in face-to-face fellowship and glorification of the living God who is forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful picture. What a great way to die, all dressed up to honor the Lord and to worship him. Living well by faith means looking forward and seeing Jesus, and so bravely standing firm against our natural fears. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word to us, your encouragement to us. Thank you for reminding us through Moses that we can, that we should live looking ahead. Lord, that we should live lives that have not been defined by anything that we have done, good or bad, up to this point, but that we're looking toward you and we're living lives waiting to be defined by you fully and finally when our lives are over. And you say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant, and you are my beloved forever. Lord, help us to keep looking forward and waiting for that word of definition for our lives, counting on the promises that you have given to us, and so living in faith and courage like Moses. And I pray all of this in your name and for your sake. Amen. It's time for us to pray for one another. I would encourage you to look at and make use of the prayers and praises page in your bulletin insert. A reminder, too, that if you have prayer requests, you can tear off the sheet at the bottom there, fill it out, and drop it in the box in the back of the sanctuary here, or put it on the desk in the office, and we'll make sure to include your prayers in the prayers that we're asking people to share in. If it's something that you don't feel you can share publicly, you can check the box and say it's just for pastor and staff prayer, and we on staff will pray for you. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your goodness and your power, your grace, your holiness. Thank you that you welcome us into fellowship. Thank you that we are coming to know and are serving your son Jesus, who told us that when we prayed to you, we should call you Abba, which is baby talk. It's daddy, dada. That we could talk to you, our God, in that kind of familiar language, not because we're presuming or because we're arrogant or proud, but because you have invited us to do so. And so we do come to you, Daddy, and we pray on behalf of one another. We pray for our pastor search committee, for their work, for the people, the person that they are going to find, asking for your blessing for that whole process. Lord, we pray for those who have various needs these days, for Betty and Bill, for Nancy and Betty and Walter and Elena. Lord, we pray for the Swinehart family and the Waterman family, and today especially the Ludwig family and their losses. Lord, we pray that you would comfort them and give them that peace that goes beyond our comprehension. We pray for our neighbors next door and those serving in the military, for Noah and Taryn, for Cody and Matthew, Weston, Chase, Levi, Gary, Molly, Brian, Anna, Margaret, Benjamin, Chandler, Caleb, Jacob. Hear us now, Lord, as we share together in this special prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, let's stand and conclude our service together by